Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's a guy who says, hope you weren't expecting the unexpected. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome to our triple eviction recap coverage, and we're going to wait, and it'll be actually a little bit of a surprise. We're not going to tell the audience right now. We're going to cover the triple eviction. Hope you're not looking at the description on the YouTube video or on your podcast or anything like that. It's going to be a big surprise for everybody. Can't wait to tell you about how it's going to be. All right. We have so much to talk about, or at least some stuff to talk about here tonight as we talk about what a night in Big Brother history. And here is a man who has been talking all week about the probabilities. I think that he turned out to be pretty accurate. Here is Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm great, Rob. I'm excited about the fact that this is a quintuple podcast, but we're not going to let the rest of the people know about this yet. It's secretly, not only are we secretly talking about a triple eviction, but this is a quintuple. Rob, what are you? Rest of the people know.
Sorry.
Oh my God.
What? All right. I mean, I guess we can. I'm confirming it now. There's five people on this podcast, guys. Oh boy, but you're surprised. Mm-hmm.
Yep. The only blindsides are when production blindsides themselves. That's BB22 in a nutshell. All right. Excited to have here with us tonight. A man who was here with me on a double eviction when I had some rants, and maybe we'll have some throwbacks tonight. Here is Mr. Brent Wagemann. Brent, how are you?
Enzo is a loser, Rob. He has no intestinal fortitude to win this game.
So full of it. So full of hot air. What a poser. What a poser, Enzo.
What a
loser. All right. We're so excited that she has been sequestered on Love Island for the last 6 weeks. We finally have her back. Here is the great Kirsten McInnes. Kirsten, how are you?
I'm good. You know, I've been doing a marathon of Love Island, so I was ready to jump into a 2-hour episode. And much like Love Island, I feel like there's not that much to talk about in one episode.
Yeah. Is the rest of the stuff going to happen in the Saturday episode?
Yeah, in the Saturday recap episode, they'll show us everything else.
Okay. And we're also excited to have back with us here to talk about everything. Phil Thompson. Phil, how are you?
I'm doing all right, Rob. Thank you so much for having me on once again. The double eviction or the triple eviction episode recaps are always my favorite. So it's just like it's a pleasure to be here to talk with all you guys. It's awesome.
All right. Well, we'll talk about everything that went on a jam-packed night, and we will be taking your questions, tweeted out the link. I'll be able to send some exit interview questions out to the three house guests who left tonight, so we'll have that up as a podcast. You'll hear the recorded answers to are my questions to the evicted house guests from tonight. Look for that on Friday. Okay. All right. So, Taryn, I know you had a lot to say this week coming up, but we're going to miss the good stuff that we've been waiting for this. We were going to miss it. It was going to get yada yada'd. Do you still feel that way after the triple eviction, or do you feel like that we fast forwarded through a lot of the boring stuff?
I honestly very much feel that way. I think if this a double, that we missed out. Because if this, look, I think we skipped through the Memphis HOH. If there was a double eviction, we would have skipped through that anyway, and we would have been fine.
Don't worry, Memphis will win the HOH tonight.
Yeah. But the Tyler HOH, following being stabbed in the back, essentially, by Enzo, by not having Enzo not follow through, by having Cody and Enzo very clearly choose Nicole to stay after saying that they weren't going to do that. Enzo all season long has been talking about how Nicole needs to go. If Tyler has more time to sit on that information, who knows what happens? And that's just the start of it. We saw Dani and how she reacted to being evicted and how betrayed she felt about Cody. And this whole night, as soon as Tyler won, I was like, Dani, throw Cody under the bus. The setup is there. You need to throw him under the bus. And if she had more time, I really feel like we could have been in for a relatively interesting week.
Kirsten, let me get your opinion on this overall state of the triple eviction.
So it happened. That was on our TV tonight.
Where's the lie?
Three people left the house. That happened. It's just, I feel like it doesn't matter what happens. I'm going to be disappointed in this season anyways. Like, I looked back and I'm like, well, what did I even want? Like, I don't even know what would have made us happy today after all of the weeks that we've gone through so far.
Phil, I know that you are a student of film, filmmaker. The foreshadowing was there from the beginning of the episode. Dani told us herself.
Of course you hope for the best, I'm saying, but you have to prepare for the
100%.
Worst.
100%.
Yeah, prepare for the worst.
That was the most amazing movie I think I've ever seen in 2020, because it encapsulates 2020 just in a nutshell, exactly what we got. You know, it was a little bit unexpected in the beginning, but now at this point, you know, we're just kind of used to it. We're just coasting. Like, by the second HOH, I was like, yeah, this is just happening. This is just our life.
Yeah, it's just happening. Brent, the Enzo thing, you said it in the opening. Oh, I was for a second there tonight. I was like, oh my God, Nicole Franzel is going home in the triple eviction. I couldn't believe it. Christmas voted against her.
Once I saw Christmas voted against her, then I thought the cards were there for Nicole Franzel to go home. And I really thought that this was the only setup where she could go home, maybe against Cody if someone put like Nicole and Cody on the block. But my God, to have Franzel out in the first part of the triple eviction would have been so awesome. I never want to hear big moves from Enzo.
Shut up, Enzo.
No one cares. We don't believe you anymore. It's like Lucy with the football. We just like I've had the ball pulled out from under me too many times to buy any of his bullshit.
Yeah,
because he could have evicted Nicole and more importantly saved David, somebody who, as he pointed out, literally doesn't know what he's doing in the house half the time. And he didn't take the shot. He didn't take the shot. And I really do agree with Taryn too, that I think part of the cause of that was the triple eviction, that he wasn't sure exactly what Christmas had done. He knew what Tyler had done because he followed him into the diary room, but he wasn't sure if there was a third vote there. And so he didn't want to be on the wrong side of a 3-2 vote. So he decided to make it what he thought was a 4-1 vote. And it came back a 3-2 vote. And he was the deciding vote.
And Taryn, I'm even more convinced Enzo threw that veto from Wednesday night also.
That he had no intention of winning.
Yeah, big moves, Mr. No, we got I'm ready to backdoor anybody, yo. No, you're not.
Yeah, zero chance he wanted to win that veto. We know that he was going for the 10K, and that's why he was mad at David.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Enzo is literally just all hype for the TV show. I mean, this is the big show that we're all waiting for. But I also think that Enzo just, you know, at this point, he knows how the house has been going. He probably knows, like, we're all kind of bored. He's like, all right, let me just hype some of these fans up. Let me just get them on Team Enzo. When the time came, he could not pull it off.
Phil, this is bad jury management from Enzo, because just like the people in the house, you know what? Memphis doesn't get us hyped up. Memphis just tells it to us like it is. It's good. The season's going to stink. He's going to go after David. Enzo's the one who's given us expectations that we're going to get something good.
If Enzo would just tell us the truth, like, it would be sad, but at least it would be honest. Mm-hmm. I'm sick of being lied to.
Big Brother Nation can handle the truth.
Look, audience, I'm not going to do what you want. I'm just not going to. You're too smart for me to do that. You're too good at watching this show, and I need dumber viewers. So I'm going to pander to those dumber viewers, and that's what's going to happen. Sorry.
Can we at least talk about, okay, he didn't make the move that we all wanted him to make. He didn't make the move that he'd been talking about making, but can we at least talk about, did he make the right move tonight? Did he make the correct move, like, inadvertently by keeping Nicole in the house and getting rid of David, who was, you know, ostensibly working with Tyler?
Oh, no. Yeah, it was the right move.
All right.
He can't go against Cody. I mean, that demolishes his position. That being said, like, I don't love what Enzo has been doing overall. Like, I don't like the overall trajectory of where he's going, but he really did put himself in a tricky spot by not going along with Tyler. If Tyler had more time to think about this decision, if he was just a little bit more cutthroat and he was a little bit quicker on the draw, then he really might have just flipped right around on Enzo for going back on this vote. Giving David back to Tyler, not the best move, I don't think. And he's still in the great spot right now where he's on the road to getting to the end. I still feel like he needs to do something else though. I don't think this is enough. That wasn't the place to do it, but he's got to do it somewhere.
So Danny was probably dead person walking anyway coming into this week. It would have been excited to watch her twist in the wind for a week and all of the other, you know, collateral damage that could have come out of her being up on the block this week. But are we still in a position that could be set up for some compelling weeks now that we have this six for the first time? There's no Kevin. There's no David. There's no Davon. There's nobody. There's no easy pawns.
There's no people of color, Rob. Can we talk about all that? There's no people of color. Yes. Just a bunch of white people for yes. them to put up on the blocks.
There are
there's
two that. Women that, yeah. that, you know, yeah. they could yeah, easily... They
Christmas, women strong. I'm so glad Danny called that out, by the way, because but on the other hand, Danny, what have you been doing for the women of the house, honey? Like, take a look at yourself, Kirsten.
Well, hey, excuse me. Yeah.
I'm asking you to respond to that.
Yeah. I know.
Take a look at yourself. Exclamation point.
What are you doing to solve this problem, Kirsten? God. What are you doing for women?
I'm causing the problem, obviously. No, so it's
where are all the other women that were supposed to be on this podcast, Kirsten?
Yeah,
I swear to God, I hate all of you. So it's just like the three women left are the three women who went after the other women. They put themselves in this situation. And I think that it's probably very easy to be like, we're going to be the last woman standing, blah, blah, blah. But then you're thinking, you don't think about, okay, well, where does that put us? It puts us in a minority with all these big, strong dudes that are working together. Obviously, it makes a target of what's left in the minority group, which they took out, you know, all the people of color were gone. And then the minute they were gone, it seemed like they had trouble thinking of who to nominate. It's not great.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, when there are people of color in the house, it's like, well, we know what we're doing. All of a sudden, when there's no people of color in the house, Rob, it's like, well, this is really tough. I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no, like, I mean, we knew this was going to happen, you know? I mean,
everyone in the house has just been just like a pre-programmed robot. It's like, all right, I'll always just vote out the minority. And so it was just like pre-programmed in their head. Like when David was on the block, it's like, well, this is what we've been doing thus far, so let's just keep going with that.
Well, I will say this, Rob, I do want to talk about this. In Danny's exit interviews, and I know that we're talking about the second interview first, but Danny, I felt like, did recognize where she went wrong tonight. Like, she knew where she went wrong. She knew it in her heart. She knew it didn't feel right to her. When she let Ian go in favor of Tyler, that was where her story was written. Like, I mean, everything else that happened after that was just... It was window dressing, Taryn. Like, we knew what was going to happen after that, after she let Ian go and kept Tyler in the house. It wasn't just Tyler that was coming after her. I think she would be surprised that other people were coming after her as well.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, honestly, the thing that was even worse than keeping Tyler was telling Christmas that she was going to go on the block as a pawn, because that really soured Christmas on Danny and helped Tyler maintain his anti-Danny stance, because he had allies to do it. And she really dropped the ball with Christmas. You know, she can say that it was Christmas that turned on her, but she was the one that dropped Christmas on purpose after the Davon argument, because she felt like she was too loose of a cannon. And Nicole even warned her. She said, hey, she's going to notice if we stop giving her things. And she did. And she especially noticed when Danny said she was going to put her on the block.
Yep.
So that's really a big moment, I think, that helped cause this as well.
Well, and it's also, though, it's not like she was in a perfect position before all of that either. Like, she really, I don't think, was ever playing like a great game the entire time.
Maybe the first week.
I mean, but even then, I think she was doing too much. Like, I don't know about that.
The people in the house, for, you know, you guys can critique all you want, but for the people in the house, they were talking about what a player.
She's like the best player that I've ever played against in my life.
Yeah, that's Tyler's worst read of the season.
Who was that about?
That Tyler actually had this argument with Cody a couple weeks ago that he was like, she's the best player I've ever played
with. In fairness, who's the best player that Tyler has played with? JC?
JC. She's better than JC.
She's better than JC.
Moving on.
Yes, thank you. Anyways.
No, yeah, they had this argument that Tyler was like, yeah, she's the best player I've played against. And Cody was like, she's not good, though. Everyone sees what she's doing. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, I don't know, man. I'd vote for her in the final two.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he doesn't even like her shows that, like, she's not the greatest player. Like, he doesn't trust her. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
If someone is the best player you've ever played with, you're not evicting them at this point in the game and then talking about how they're so good. They sneak up on you, and at the end, you're like, oh my God, how did I miss that? They're so good. Like, you don't see what someone good is doing that surface level.
Yeah, Taryn, my criticism of Dani had been, tenfold this season, but I really do feel like it all comes down to the fact that she couldn't decide what kind of a game she wanted to play. She was, had been talked to pieces about how she made a move too soon in Big Brother 13, and she went against her alliance and just decided to work with the people that she liked. This time, she tried to do something the opposite of that. But she didn't do it very well. And as Kirsten pointed out in the first week, she did too much. So she vacillated between doing too much and doing too little. And this week, again, right after they got the clue about the triple eviction, I would say she did too much again. So she's not very good at being subtle, much like myself. So I feel like she would have been better off just going to the dance with the girl that brought her, which was like the Dani that we saw at the end there. The Dani that was like, you know what, I'm going to give him hell. And when it's my HOH, I'm going to put my foot down and I'm going to keep Ian in the house. And I'm going to make Nicole do that. And I'm going to get rid of Tyler, the guy I already like put on the block. Like, I'm very frustrated with Dani right now.
I feel like Dani would do so well in like if they did like a legend season that is like 2 weeks long, you know what I mean? Like in like February, whenever they do it, like that is the perfect spot, I feel like, for Dani, because she is just so go, 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 go. She's able to just like play that, and she would probably play it perfectly. She might win that. But for the long game, yeah, I think Dani even sucked like week one. Not sucked, but, I do think that she was definitely overplaying from like week one.
Yeah. And the Tyler thing that week that she won the HOH, I mean, that's the really easy thing to point to. And I think the other thing is that she really got misted by Cody here in this season, who was really never on her side. She comes out of the house, is like, oh my, I can't believe Cody voted for me. She called him her DBBF. Kirsten, could you define that for me?
Okay, so your BB...
Dani Briones' best friend.
Yes, so that is the person who, in your mind, they are with you. They are your number one. They are your ride or die. They will do anything for you. They will tell you anything. You can tell them anything. However, in reality, hardly a friend at all, more of an acquaintance.
Yeah. By the way, Kirsten, I would like to point out that we had two major wall yellers this season. One that pointed out that Cody and Nicole have a final two. Another one that pointed out that Tyler and Christmas have a final two. All those people are still in the house. Like, what the hell are these people doing?
Yeah, and she wholeheartedly believed one of them. And did not buy the other, because guess what? One of them had power in the game and the other didn't.
Well, and it's also one of them had her BBBFF.
Oh, BBBFF. Okay, not DBBFF. Okay, because I looked this up. DBBF is a douchebag boyfriend. That's DBBF.
Oh, maybe I got it wrong. Maybe that's what it is.
I think that fits perfectly, actually.
We'd have to hear an audio playback, Rob.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll need to into that actually with some better sound.
Yeah, I gotta go back and check that out. Okay.
Are you sure it wasn't BP BFF Busy Phillips best friend?
Yeah, very handsome. Very handsome Busy Phillips.
Very pretty actress.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Taryn, so if we were gonna do power rankings for the people that are left in the final six, who is in the most imminent danger coming into this round of six? Nicole?
Christmas.
Oh, all right. See, yes. we'll have an interesting week.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, but
depends on who wins HOH. Yeah.
So Cody should want Christmas gone. He has wanted Christmas gone. Christmas is basically she's back up to two different people, Memphis and Tyler. And so by taking out Christmas, he weakens both of them.
Well, let me just say this, okay? That this week, that I think that we are in store for a good week, because I think that if checks notes, anybody goes home, it's going to be fun.
Yes, it's
any
be
of
fun.
Them. Put two on the block. Win the veto. Replace them with another. It'll be great. Yeah.
Honestly, why couldn't they send them all home tonight? Like, they could have just kept doing those same two competitions all night long until we had a winner, and I would have been happy to sit through it and be here to recap it no matter how long it took.
It'll be glorious.
That would have been perfect.
Yes.
Can I just say that if they had swapped the vetoes, if the first veto had been the one where you run back and forth, that Tyler won, that David probably is saved, and David is still probably in this house, and Danny might have gone first, and then Tyler wins the second one, and then things could have gotten pretty interesting.
You know, I will say, that's all fabulous, Taryn, but I want to point out that our very own Melissa Denny had a boot order that she predicted way back when, and you said that if Kevin and David are the next two people out of this house, that you will gladly pay up.
Brent, we're dealing with a sorceress. I don't know what I should never have told her that I would give her money if this
happened.
You
said that so confidently.
No,
magicking this into existence just so she gets her $100.
We are not blaming Melissa for this, because you know that if she had powers and control, this is not what we would get.
She manifested it.
No. For those of you who don't know, Melissa Denny put up a tweet that was like, I don't know, like 8 weeks ago, like it was a long time ago, and she was like, so I guess like the next people out of the house are like Janelle, Kaser, Ian, Davon, Bailey, Kevin, and David. And right at that point, right before those last two, Melissa brought it up again, and Taryn was like, I'll put money down that Kevin and David are not the next two people out of this house. And then,
I'm gonna speak directly to our RHAP social media team. Find that clip.
Yes, it was on the round table. I think it was like the third week or something that
Brent was also a tweet. Yes.
It was on the pod. So Brent had asked me to like, hey, Taryn, give us the pretty picture. Be optimistic. Brent's setting me up for failure here. So Melissa was like, no optimism. This is what's going to happen. And I was like, no way. That's impossible. I will put money on it. And then a couple of weeks ago, somebody found the clip. And that's when she tweeted out, like, I think Taryn owes me money. And I was like, you know what? I deserve this. I will give you $100. If this happens, I will give you $100 because I fully deserve to be punished for tempting fate and saying that this wouldn't happen. Tonight I lost $100.
Okay.
Yeah, but you also gained $100 as someone donating it to you to pay her. So really, it's like zero for you.
Oh, well.
GoFundMe up. I'll get the go for that.
It's not about the money. It's about the friends we made along the way, Kirsten.
Taryn, exactly. Really, I have to say that it was really bad luck for David to go home in the first HOH here. Like, I mean, anybody but Memphis wins HOH, and I do think he's safe, and then I think he's safe in the second HOH. Like, anybody but Memphis.
Yeah.
Even last week, if Cody hadn't won, right? I don't think Kevin would have gone.
Yeah?
Oh, gosh.
But
well,
you
boy,
know what?
We had been unlucky this season.
No, and nobody was pulling harder for David than I was, but they're gone. They can't sit on the block this week. There's no easy pawns. We ripped the Band-Aid off with those guys. And yes, we lost the Danny week, but no matter what, somebody is going to be very upset. Two people likely when they are sitting up on the block this week.
Can we talk about that, though? Because I feel like Danny, in her eviction speech, did more to help salve the wounds more than anything. Because by calling out Tyler and Christmas specifically, I feel like that pushes them together somewhat. And they were the only two people that voted against Nicole. Add to that Memphis, who doesn't want to see Christmas go anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that those three people probably not too far away from each other going into the next HOH. Now, of course, Tyler can't play. But I my point being that I feel like they're going to work together now. I would be surprised if Memphis put Tyler on the block, even with his little wise guys thing that he has going on. But
well,
I don't know.
To be fair, depending on the HOH, it might not be the most likely that it's Memphis because he was on the ground at the end of the episode. He fell and, like, yes, he did get up, but he wasn't looking so good. I think we might have back pain Memphis again.
Yeah.
Jerry, you gave me a little eye with that one. Like, do you feel like Memphis, if Memphis won HOH, he put up like Tyler and Nicole? Because yes. he okay, well, that's too bad. I don't want him to do that. I guess I'm ready for a Christmas HOH.
I mean, not sorry. A Christmas HOH.
The Christmas HOH is the one where Cody might go on the block.
I think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be...
What's going to happen, Phil?
I feel like Christmas is for sure going to win an HOH. I feel like this is going to go the way of last season, where just like they're going to back-to-back swap like Jackson and Holly did it. It's going to just be Memphis and Christmas back, Kim just killing it, and we're going to just have to watch it. Like, during like the second eviction, like when it was between Cody and Tyler and Christmas, I was rooting for Cody. That's the sad fact about this season. Like,
yeah.
I was like, oh, you know, if he takes them out, like, yeah, I'll take it. You know what I mean? Cody, just do it, please.
Yeah.
Kirsten, I go ahead, Rob.
I was rooting for Cody in the second HOH too.
I kind of was myself, but now that we're at this point in time, I will say, Kirsten, I saw you give everybody the bad face when we talked about Christmas, but like, she's giving me better TV than some of these people right now. At least she wears her emotions on her sleeve.
I would argue that yes, she is showing her emotions, but does that make it good? I would say maybe not. But I also just think, like, what is this year? What is this season? That literally a Christmas HOH is the best case scenario for like exciting TV. Like,
I mean, that's just, I think that's just what happens, that she's the new underdog, that this is always what happens, is that the next
fan
person
favorite.
To go, they win HOH. Yeah.
Not fan favorite, never that.
Never Christmas, fan favorite. Yeah.
America's favorite play, America's favorite underdog.
Everyone loves the holiday season all of a sudden, but not me.
Yeah.
Give Christmas the gift of America.
She's getting the underdog edit from now on. We're gonna get her crying. It's gonna be amazing. It's gonna be hilarious.
I'm giving Davon America's favorite player. I'll get Christmas the underdog edit. That's the end of that.
Yeah, sure. She's an underdog in the show. Whatever. This is all bad.
Well, I don't really think she is that much of an underdog because I don't think. I mean, Tyler can't play, but he wouldn't put her up. I don't feel like Memphis won't put her up. Obviously, Christmas won't put herself up. So, and I'm not even sure what Nicole would do. I guess Nicole would put up Tyler in Christmas.
Well,
maybe Memphis.
Well, okay.
She would be inclined to go after Memphis, but Cody will want her to go after Christmas. And so.
All right. And Christmas is a CrossFitter. And you know what that means? That means you never give up.
Okay? Never quit.
Never. Never quit.
We're going to break down everything that happened in the triple eviction in just a moment. But first, let me take a moment and thank one of our sponsors here tonight. Those are our friends over at Albert. And Albert is the app that can help you get a better handle on your finances. If you're one of the people that is looking to get a handle on your real life money, not the money in your stock watch for BB22, don't stress. Just download Albert. It's the personal finance app that helps you find a happy balance and make the most out of what you have. Albert is like having a friendly personal finance expert in the palm of your hand, ready to simplify budgeting, saving, and even investing. I've got the app on my phone, and what you do is that it connects to your checking account. It can take a look at what you are spending money on. Plus, it can send you text alerts to let you know about things that you might be interested in that are super helpful. And with a subscription to Albert Genius, you'll always have a team of real human beings looking out for you. Albert Genius gives you access to real financial advisors that you can message anytime through the app. Have a question? Send off a text message wondering how to build credit, or if you could afford splurging on something that might not be in your budget. Ask a genius. Effortlessly build savings for a rainy day or that next Instagram worthy trip with Albert Savings as well, which can automatically take money from your checking account and put it into someplace to save for a rainy day. Albert users save an average of $400 in just 6 months, and Albert has already saved people a total of over $400 million and counting. Let's be be real. Sometimes overspending sneaks up on you. Albert Instant is there to give you a little cushion when you need it. We've all been there. Don't sweat it. Albert will send you a cash advance of up to $100 straight to your bank account to tide you over. No credit check, zero interest, no late fees. Install Albert from the App Store or Google Play today to find your happy balance and get a bonus of up to $40 when you start an annual subscription to Albert Genius. That's Albert. Look for it in the Apple App Store or on Google Play. And let's get back to talking about the triple eviction. Why don't we go ahead and take a look back at what happened tonight? And so then we can stop down and talk about any of the interesting beats. I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on the first round of play here. We saw just a tiny bit of Cody being super condescending to David, just so hard on him about taking the 10K. And you know what, David, you did the right thing.
Yep. Sure. Hell, he did. Yep.
What were you going to say?
No, well, go ahead.
I feel like that was like the funniest part about it to me is that Cody like was condescending. He was like treating it like he was just like teaching him. He was teaching David, big brother, like that's not how you do it. But like David is so unfamiliar with the game that now he's like an old school player. Like that's what an old school player would do, though. They would take the money. I don't care if I'm on the block. I'll take it because you know what? He went out. And so, Cody was talking down like that's not big brother. Like you're playing new school big brother, Cody. I don't know. I thought that was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, David's gonna have the third most amount of money of anyone in the game. I think. Oh no, I think they started giving more money to.
They did. Yeah.
I mean, probably fourth after Dr. Will, but yeah, he's up there.
Yeah.
He's up.
David's sending 40K too, right? They gave everybody.
Yeah, he gets the 40K. Yeah, you get so much money, and then if you make jury get for every week you stay in the house, you get more money. It's not just the stipend; it's also money. Someone send me the pay table. I've got it somewhere. Whatever.
Yeah. It doesn't even matter. Like honestly. I know that it's like, oh, you know, from like an optimal perspective, David would be doing whatever he could do to win the game and be the person at the end. But like these people it didn't matter what he was going to do. Like, unless David had gone veto HOH, veto HOH, veto HOH, like literally if he had not won a competition every week for the end, I just don't think he was going to get to the end because they were so hung up on nominating him every single time he was available. So if you can take 10K, take the 10K.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with him taking the 10K. I do think he got a bad break because I think he could have gone deep into this game because like the minute the first shot is fired at the Alliance, now all of a sudden they're not worried about David anymore. They're worried about each other. They're worried about all the big players in the game once the shot is taken, but it hadn't been taken at the point in time that Memphis won the goddamn game.
Well, but honestly, even if the shot had been taken, Memphis was so fixated. Like, if Memphis wins, I feel like he was going to nominate David every single time.
Oh, yeah. Anybody but Memphis winning that first HOH, it's not David. Unless it's a bad veto draw, the veto outcome, David's not going home.
By the way, listen to Memphis when David is leaving.
Appreciate that. Only took me since week two to get him out.
What did he do to you, Memphis?
There's very little you can do in the game of Big Brother when someone has that big of a hard-on for you to get you out of the game. Like, I mean, it is just the truth of the matter. I'm sorry. I do not know what Memphis's problem was. I think it's just I feel like there's a lot of things going on, but the main thing is I think he just didn't respect him as a player. Like he saw him as a total rookie who didn't like Memphis is like, I went to the final two. I put in my time in the Big Brother game. I spent, 70, 80 days in the house. You spent an hour in the house playing the game, before. You shouldn't even be here. I feel like that's where he's coming from. Phil, go ahead.
No, Memphis was just like talking about like you have to earn your stripes in week two. That's what he was saying. Like you're a rookie, but you'll make it. And he's with you right now. And it pisses me off so much that he's like, oh, I have a vendetta. Like I've been trying to get him out since week two. I thought you were saying it like you were trying to help him, but obviously he was never trying to help him or anything like that.
And for what, Memphis? For what?
This is the weirdest rivalry in Big Brother history. Memphis versus David.
Steve and Becky, I think.
I guess so.
My crown.
I forgot about that.
Okay. in recent history.
Next season, I hope they do a Memphis versus David season. I'd watch that. Yes. Like if they bring them both back and they're captains.
Honestly.
Redemption House. Big Brother 23.
I don't need to see Memphis back, but David can come back.
You know, that reminds me. Someone on Twitter reminded me that when Survivor had its 22nd season, it was literally the most predictable season ever. Redemption Island with Boston Rob winning, marching to the end. Look what's happening on this.
You think there's a season 22 curse?
Yes,
season 19.
Yes.
It was dominated by a player who lost to a bitter jury. Season 20 was very good.
It was.
Season 21 was pretty boring. I don't know, guys.
6 years from now, Big Brother be lit. Yeah.
Looks like we're in a dry spell.
Season 18 was just a mess overall.
Well, let's see what happens when we get to
that's a little stretch. Yeah.
How long until we get to Cagayan?
Yeah, 6 years. Okay. All right. So we ultimately got Dr. Will back. Of course, Dr. Will comes back on the screen for 30 seconds. The tiebreaker question was, all right, house guests, what was the total amount of screen time in seconds that Dr. Will was a part of this season? Okay.
Without
18.
Going over.
Yeah. That is on the button.
Rob, you're the next HOH.
Yeah. You don't need to have Rachel Swindler map to figure out how many seconds he was on.
I also loved when they asked the question about the winking. That brought me great joy.
It was like, first of all, did they show these videos more than once, Taryn?
I can tell you this because we talked about it on the slot.
Okay.
So they had it on the Thursday night show to end the show. And then they opened the Sunday show. It's like the Back to the Future movies. They opened the Sunday show with the end of the Thursday night show. So we saw it twice on the show. I don't think that they saw it a second time. And then we saw it in the third time. But we talked about this on the slop on Monday with Chappelle. I was saying, like, what is with all of the winking? Taryn, is that a Dr. Will's thing? Is it he's winking all the time?
No, I mean, yeah, he winks on occasion. He's known to throw a wink or two. But
what about three?
Yeah, 3 and 18 seconds. That's a lot of winks when you put it like that.
Kirsten, did you notice that when that Dr. Willis had so much Botox that when he winked, his mouth just snapped open? I thought that was very cool.
Who knew he had the capability to move his face that much? Let's give him the round of applause.
Winking is all he can do. Yeah.
They contacted him 3 months ago and they said, you have to put a pause on your Botox. We need you to wink in 3 months.
Come on. How dare you? How dare you? Come on.
He got his check. Come on. Like, what else do we want from
Dr. Will? I want to say, Dr. Will did what he needed to do, and he got that check without having to walk into the house. Nothing but love and respect for my favorite Big Brother winner of all time. But, like, facts are facts. We all have eyes.
Yeah.
All right. Taryn. So Kevin went out 6-0 vote. He did a move. A hug you all on finale night. Shades of Cody Nixon. All right, I'm out of here. I felt like he sort of, Taryn, came around in his by the time the goodbye messages happened.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I don't think he was like super bitter like with the hug stuff. Like, I think a part of it is just like, I don't want to spend like I just lost. Like, why do I have to sit here and like do these hugs in my I'll just leave now and we can deal with this later. I don't think it was like super, it wasn't Danny not giving Christmas a hug.
Mm-hmm. Phil, but this is a good move though. Cause I think you get more time with Julie. I think if you just, yada yada the goodbyes in the house.
They had a whole moment. It was amazing. It was like, yo, I'm getting my time on the screen. I'm done with y'all. I'm not dealing with you guys.
Yeah.
I will say, though, like Cody's goodbye message to Kevin was kind of hilarious, where he was just like, yeah, we evicted you because you just don't suck as much as David sucks. That's literally the only reason why.
Just Kevin.
Shading David at every single moment. He's like, David, you took the 10K. So
please don't hold this against me.
Please vote for me.
Okay. That was so lame, Taryn. Yeah,
he did say he would not vote for Cody in the final too.
I wasn't convinced by the end of it.
Yeah. Then Julie's like, "Yeah, but for now, you don't know what's going to happen." And he's like, "Yeah, that's true. I don't know what's going to happen."
Yeah. Okay.
He knows.
There was an awkward moment, I thought, also in Julie's interview with Kevin. Kevin talked about how it was not like his first season. And this is something that I've noticed all season long, that Julie feels like that there are a lot of viewers that don't know that maybe these players played in previous seasons. And I feel like she often has to explain the idea of former seasons to the audience at home.
The first time I played, I skated through. I never was nominated. This time I was nominated 5 times.
And you skated through to the final 3.
I know.
The first time.
I know.
Jordan ended up winning that season.
She did.
You were kind of one competition away from winning that season.
Yes.
Let's go back to this season.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let's, like it was him. Like he's the one that went off the rails with 3 random facts. Oh, Kevin, please. Let's get back to what we're supposed to be talking about.
Oh, did you know Jordan won your season, Kevin? Did you know? Okay. All right.
I'm surprised she didn't take the opportunity to be like, yeah, Jordan won that season. And even more, she met the love of her life. Big brother player named Big Jeff. And they have a beautiful family. And
you know
he is
what?
On
he
movies
made it
on TV
all
now.
The way to the final 5 in his season. And then he came back and went out in a double eviction, which guess what, guys? Tonight is a not double, but triple. And we're not telling that. Oops.
There was also the part where, like, they walk out and it's like obviously the house guests have seen or whatever, and then she's like, I didn't say nothing about a triple eviction.
Yeah, well, let's get there. We'll get there. So, all right, that's the end of Kevin, and then Julie is trying to be very coy. Yes. Phil, did you have,
oh, no, I was saying, see you, Kevin. Bye.
Bye. You're raising your hand. But we are going to now, Julie's be like very coy, like, okay, it's the fastest night in Big Brother, so get ready. Okay, so we're going to play for HOH, and we're going to really milk this Dr. Will appearances, because in the 18 seconds that Dr. Will was on, we're going to now do questions about these 2 Dr. Will videos that you saw. Brent, when we had the Zoom family reunion for Uncle Vito and friends, that was like 10 times more material than there was to mine the Dr. Will appearance from.
I'm so with you, Rob, because if I had been in one of those boxes answering questions tonight, I don't freaking know how many times he winked at the camera. Like, what?
That was like, the easy one. You remember what color was the font on his coffee cup?
Oh, the mug was clearly red. That was easy.
The mug was easy, but the thing about him having his hand in his pocket was so random. Like, I would never think they would ask about that.
I don't want to hear about Dr. Will having a hand in his pocket the whole time. It's none of our business.
Well, those are actually all things that they were talking about on the feeds prior to this competition.
I would never have noticed.
Well, Brent, you're playing Big Brother. And you have nothing else to do. And they show you some videos prior to an HOH competition. You're really going to just be like, ooh, it's Dr. Will. Yeah.
I would be. See, that's why you should keep me there.
I do think, though, that like Big Brother definitely had like another video planned for the HOH competition. And then Dr. Will's like, I'm not shooting that. I got my check. I'm done. So Big Brother has like had to scramble and be like, all right, this is actually part of the competition all along. This is it right here. Well,
Dr. Will told them, I've got 10 minutes. You've got 10 minutes to throw on some makeup, throw me in
Which
a robe,
they did.
And film the segments. And I got a thing to catch after this. So.
Okay. Kudos to Memphis, who wins one of these trivia contests again, that he was the person that won the Uncle Vito quiz earlier in the season. So it seems like that Memphis is good at these trivia comps, which I would not have suspected.
It still feels fake. Like, it's happened twice, and I still, if you were like, yeah, Memphis is good at these trivia comps, I'd be like, no, he's not.
He was out of breath from it, though. He was laying down on the ground because of the mental competition.
He's better at the mental comps than he is the physical ones.
Get the man a back set, and he can do anything.
All right. We have the veto. And ultimately, Christmas is going to win the veto. It comes down as it's a horse race between Christmas and Nicole Franzel. Nicole Franzel buzzes in first, but Christmas wins the veto. Nicole's puzzle is wrong. Seems like, Taryn, what was going on? Nicole was complaining about this?
I don't think so. I mean,
because Julie had to come in like, guys, I just want to let you know, yes, yeah. Nicole did buzz in first, but her puzzle was wrong.
That was weird. That felt to me like if this was actually live, like the audience was confused. Mm-hmm. But it was probably like a producer like, hey, the audience is probably confused, Julie. You gotta
say. Totally. That's exactly what happened. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe the audience was confused, not just production. Okay. So we're going to see with Memphis's nominations. So I was actually surprised that Memphis went with Nicole and David on the block. Because, Chris, I would have thought that he goes Danny and David.
I think that he knew that everybody had it out for Danny, and he wanted David out so badly. He needed to put up someone who would stay. Mm-hmm. Over David, which was not really that many people at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly it. He, especially with Christmas pushing so hard for Danny to go, he knew that Nicole, and he talked it through with Cody, that Nicole would be the one that had to go up against David if he wanted David to go.
Okay. Phil, we saw a little bit of campaigning for Nicole. I thought she actually did a good job with Christmas. She told Christmas that you're my number one, and everybody knows it, that you're my number one. I was like, oh, this is news.
Which, I mean, it's good. I mean, but you have to say it. It's like perception is reality. If everyone knows it, then let's do it. You know what I mean? And I do think that, like, you have to just be in total beg mode. And, like, if your back is up against the wall, you have no choice but to just say, like, please, like, this, that. Like, you keep me, please. So I feel like it definitely was the right, as a good campaign. Although, I will say, though, that, like, It was funny that, like, right as, like, Memphis and, like, I feel like Memphis is, like, the worst HOH to have, like, for, like, a live nomination or, like, a live, because he's always, like, super tight-lipped. So, like, Memphis is not telling anybody anything. And even, like, when he brings Christmas into the room, like, it cuts. You know what I mean? It just duns. Like, I feel like it sucks. Like, yeah. Memphis, yeah.
If Memphis was on Big Brother Canada 5, Aika would have gone up to Memphis and he would have been like, it doesn't matter.
And that would have been it.
Yeah. Okay. History has changed.
So we are going to go to the we're gonna get the veto ceremony. Christmas will not use the veto. Okay. So it's going to be Nicole versus David here in the second eviction. But at this point, Julie goes to go check in with the house guests. She tells us this.
We're going to keep them in the dark just a little bit longer. But for now, let's return to the living room for the second vote and eviction of the night. Hello again, house guests.
Oh, I'm fine.
Yep, it's time to gather.
It's a triple eviction.
Wait, what?
What?
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
What in the world?
Come on.
Oh my God.
Oh
my God.
She did that on purpose.
What?
Oh my.
She did that on purpose.
Oh.
Hello.
So, to everybody that wanted to see the house react to seeing it was a triple eviction, okay? You got your wish. First
yeah,
of all,
honestly, we got our team, Melissa.
That was honestly a better reaction than we would have gotten if Julia just said something, because we got to, like, see, like, one by one, see, like, yes, a lengthy reaction.
So what I thought was really funny is first they gave the house guests a hint that it was happening.
Yeah.
Then Julie said, we're going to keep this a secret.
Right.
And then they just kept the screen up behind her and said, never mind, here you go.
But I think the house guests thought that it was like, that they were like, it was supposed to, that they were trying to do that. Like, I don't think the house guests thought production made a mistake. Yeah.
Like, oh, she definitely did that on purpose. That was the thing.
Well, that was perfect.
But what was going on during all that dead air in terms of production? Like, Julie's like, all right, well, like, what do I do? Do I just interrupt them? Like,
well, yeah. I think normally, like, she calls them to go to the living room and she's on the screen to do that. But like, they didn't realize that that was going to be the thing. And this is just like, I guess we'll wait until.
Like, great. It was great. Say? A great moment. It was a great moment.
It was awesome.
I feel like it would be fine. It was just that, like, everyone was vocalizing it. So we knew that they knew. You know, come on. They are all on TV. Mm-hmm. They know. They have to just give us the big TV moment. Just please. That's all we want.
And if Julie hadn't said right before, like, we're going to keep it a secret a little bit longer, like, then they could have played it off like it was on purpose, like, and here we go, that was the reveal, that's what we meant to do, but instead she just had to get away.
We are going to keep him in the dark just a little bit longer.
I'm hoping that Rob also got the minute when David's like, I guess double, triple, and she's like,
here's David in his speech to the house.
All right, Rookie wants to stay. Rookie wants to play. There's another eviction tonight. I can help you out. Let's play.
Okay. And so he's mentioning it, and then we hear David mention it to Julie.
I'm proud that it took a double eviction to get me out, or a triple eviction to get me out.
I didn't say anything about a triple eviction yet.
He sounds like a gremlin.
Taryn, are you okay? Giving secondhand embarrassment?
Yeah.
This kind of goes back a bit. Christmas said early in the season that she thinks she would be a great replacement for Julie Chen Moonves as host of Big Brother. And after Julie's performance tonight, I saw a lot of Christmas in her. I feel like this is exactly how Christmas would have responded to this. She would be like, I didn't say anything about a triple eviction yet. Baby Shark doo doo. That's what Christmas would have done.
Yeah.
I didn't say anything about a triple eviction yet.
Is she drunk?
I don't know what she's doing.
She just thinks that's how people talk. You know, it's like, you know what I mean?
Well, what about at the end of the episode of that there's this moment which goes on for a very long time. I'm just preparing you for this clip. Okay.
Okay.
Julie brings everybody back to the living room again.
I need everyone to gather in the living room. It is Groundhog Day here.
Yeah, it is.
And all kinds of shadows.
Well, she got jokes, huh?
I got jokes. I'm here all night.
That tension.
We like your jokes, Julie.
Thank you for getting it. I mean, that's a classic, right? It doesn't matter how old you are.
What is she talking about? The movie Groundhog Day?
Like, Thank
you for getting it.
That's something that no one has ever said to Julie Chen.
This is the tension between an existing established person and the up and comer who's trying to take their place.
Oh, she got jokes. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, I'm kidding.
Yeah, okay. Well, Julie is happy anybody gets her 90s movie references, so we appreciate that.
Well, yeah, no, I feel seen, Julie. Underground film, Groundhog Day. No one's ever heard of it.
It was just the last time that Julie was human in the 90s, so it's just what she remembers, you know? After that, shut the brain off.
There's a lot going on. Okay. Taryn, what do we know about this plot that Tyler tried to have this coup to get Nicole voted out instead of David?
Basically, Tyler has been talking with Enzo about how Danny and Nicole need to go for a long time. And he's confirmed it with Enzo multiple times that Enzo also wants Nicole to go and he wants David to stay. And Enzo has said as much. He said, yes, I want Nicole to go and I want David to stay. So when it came time to vote, Tyler was like, I think we'll have the votes. And he probably told Christmas, like, Enzo's in. And she probably talked to Enzo, and David talked to Enzo. And they were probably like, I think it might happen. Christmas went in. She told Tyler, she's like, I did it. And Tyler's like, all right. And so he did it. And then he goes out and he's like, Enzo, let's go. We got two votes. Let's make this happen. And Enzo was never really on board. Enzo, in his own words, I love Nicole, yo. That's it. I just love the way she treats me, yo. Mm-hmm. I don't even care that she's a champ. That's it.
Well, I mean, they were talking out there. That's the longest I've ever seen anybody talk in the little foyer where, you know, in between where they vote and the living room. So obviously they talked for about like a good 15, 20 seconds. And I don't know what Enzo said. I hope we see it on Monday night, I guess. But that must have been an interesting conversation.
Enzo talks a big game, but it was just a spritz of water the whole time.
Yeah, but that's Enzo's. I feel like that's Enzo's MO, is just hyping other people up so that they do something.
Yep.
And so then they get in trouble for it, and Enzo's like, I had nothing to do with that, yo. I don't know what that is even.
Well,
is
Phil, he played that's that the spritz,
that's a spritz of water.
Yeah, I mean, everyone is kind of repeating their mistakes though this season. I think that Enzo still thinks, like, you know, if he was one competition away, and so he thinks that, you know, he had won competitions this season. He got it in the bag this in 22, but, you know, I don't think so.
Okay. I mean, he said it, I think, in the last episode. He was like, all these people, yo, they just keep floating along in this game. And like, yeah, I am too, yo, but like, I'm better than them. So that's it. That is exactly it. That's it.
That's it. Christmas voting against Nicole, highlight of the night. Yeah.
For a brief moment, we were like, this could happen. It's possible that this happens.
I mean,
yeah, that was like the one moment I felt hope in the last like few weeks, probably.
Yes.
And then it was ripped away.
Yeah. Christmas voting for Nicole. And then also,
we're going to keep them in the dark just a little bit longer.
Those are the two highlights.
Yeah.
The fact that Christmas, all voting for Nicole, the fact that you're rooting for Christmas to do a vote, and that's your highlight of the last few weeks.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
That's 2020 is the dark, and they're keeping us in that's it just it, a little bit longer.
Okay. Ultimately, 3-2 vote, David gets voted out. Brett, any thoughts from David's conversation with Julie?
No. I really wasn't that impressed. I mean, I here's the thing. My issues with David are this, that I feel like he never says what needs to be said, and he doesn't go far enough with the stuff that he does say. So I just want him to be a little bit more forthright, but he's made it clear over the past 12 months since he was on Big Brother the first time that that's not his gig. He's not going to say what needs to be said. I feel like,
yeah,
I would have said it if I was there.
But that's just not, I don't think that's how
he plays
it. Yeah.
Okay. We're going to get to our third vote of the night, and we're going to have another HOH competition. This time, Taryn, it's all about you. It's like, why do they have to frame it like that? It's all about you.
Well, did we miss Julie telling them about the triple eviction?
Yes. Yes. The actual reveal. Let me see.
Yes.
I hope you all planned three moves ahead. Three, get it?
Get
triple
it.
Eviction. I heard some of you talking about it in the house.
Yeah, we get it.
Yes. Yes, you do.
Yeah. No, we've got it. We've now
down the road. It's the usual suspects. And Julie has just unleashed the twist of all twists, and she's explaining all the little clues.
Skokie,
that you
Illinois.
Never saw until just this moment. And oh boy, does it blow your mind.
It's just the Davon pretends to be shocked gif where she's just, I had no idea, obviously.
Yeah. I just love the idea of being like, I heard some of you talking about it in the house. And it's like, yeah, literally 3 seconds ago when we showed you by accident that it is in fact a triple eviction.
Yeah. Memphis has a really good, yeah, no, we got it.
Yeah, we get it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, you do.
Yeah. Memphis was great. Memphis, I love Memphis as we go along here. He's just like, he cannot be bothered with niceties. He's just like, yeah, we got it.
Okay. All right. So this is all about you, house guests. We're going to actually, for the, this is very, very unique for Big Brother. We're going to ask you, the contestants, questions about things that happened in your season of Big Brother. Get ready for this.
Ooh.
A novel concept.
To other seasons, there was a brief moment in the previous HOH where I thought for just a moment that Julie was going to say, so we're going to ask you questions about Dr. Will from season two, like his season two game. Like, like how many competitions did Dr. Will win?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh my God,
that Dr. Will trivia. That would have been good.
Yes.
Okay.
David, I think, thank God David was not in the house at that time. Otherwise, he would have just had to self-evict. Could I take a 10K instead?
Okay. We get to a bunch of questions. Everybody gets the first one right. Davon became a have-not twice before she won a comp. Only Chris Christmas, Cody, and Tyler are left at that point. And that's when I'm like, all right, I'm going for Cody here. Let's go. Let's go, Cody. First time I'm going to root for Cody to win a comp. And then we get to this question from Julie.
Otev, the psychedelic salamander, said, quote, totally bogus, before he said, quote, most righteous party.
I'm going to need to save that sound clip and use that just in my regular life.
Totally bogus.
Julie's drunk. I'm sorry.
She was going to have a socially distanced margarita with Davon. She might have maybe had a Zoom call with the jury house earlier.
Most righteous party. Like
I like the part where Christmas tried to cheat and changed her answer to the wrong answer, and then yeah, Julie made her change it back.
I think that,
to the
was,
right
in the that was in the first comp.
Yeah.
First, and they should have kicked her out. Also, they said, oh, Christmas. Oh, you said false? Oh, you're right. You're out. That's it. Yeah. That's it, yo.
They should have, for that one, they should have let her have it. Like, come on. Like, they know what we want. Like, just come on. Come on. Yeah, you get that answer.
Christmas, you changed your answer. You had
totally
it right.
Bogus.
Now you're wrong. Sorry about that.
Totally bogus.
All right. Tyler is going to be the HOH. Taryn, we see Danny go to Tyler, and she's going to plead with him. Hey, don't put me on the block. I'm not coming for you. Don't worry about it.
That wasn't the card to play, Taryn.
She had nothing. She gave him nothing. She just gave, like, I have never been coming for you. I am not coming for you. That's all I've got. Like, no, that's not all you have, Danny. This is a spot where you are dead in the water and you have info on everyone. On Memphis, on Nicole, on Cody and Enzo, the core four. You have so much. Tell him about things. Enzo, he just voted the other way. That him and Christmas just voted the opposite way of Enzo and Cody. There's a rift there that you can exploit. Do something, Danny.
I feel like, though, tonight was the night where it all 100% like fully clicked for Danny. Like you guys were saying that, like, yeah, I'm going home tonight. So I feel like she definitely just needed more time in general to just plot out her end game, because I don't think she was doing that in the beginning when they reminded her, you know, you got to think about 3 weeks ahead. She was not doing that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Taryn, when he won HOH and she went into that room to talk to him, I feel like that she did not do what we wanted her to do, which was throw Cody and Enzo under the bus or throw Memphis under the bus, because I feel like she felt like that either A, she's not going to be nominated, or B, if she is nominated, she can win the veto, or B, if she doesn't win the veto, then C, her allies will save her when she's on the block. Like, I think that's why she didn't want to do that.
But she needed three votes. Like, once she doesn't win the veto, yeah, and she even was talking
to
Nicole.
It's hard to think about that, though. I think
she thought she had, oh, I'm going to throw Tyler and Christmas under the bus, and then I got the other three. Once I out this Christmas and Tyler to everybody, then I'll sweep the other three votes, and I'm staying.
She seemed so resigned in the conversation with Cole. Like, he better make sure Christmas is the one that goes. It's got to be Christmas first. But I do not doubt at all that she would have thrown so much under the bus if she had more time.
Yeah.
This is always the biggest challenge for any big alliance like this, is that is letting your ally go without them realizing that you're letting them go. And it takes a week. It takes a whole week to keep them on the hook, acting like you're still working for them when you're actually not. And Danny is so paranoid in the first place. She absolutely would have seen that Nicole wouldn't have been able to keep it up. Cody wouldn't have been able to keep it up. She would have seen that they were letting her go, and she would have spilled everything.
Yeah, she would have spilled everything. That's a really good point, because we've seen players like get had, like when back in Big Brother 20, when Tyler had to keep it up, that he was actually keeping Brett and getting rid of Rachel Swindler. Like, that was an entire week where, you know, like everybody had to act like something else was going to happen within the alliance, but then the other thing happened. If we would have had that with Danny, these people would not have been able to keep it up. They would have spilled to Danny. Danny would have figured it out, and you would have got the Danny that you saw at the end, which is the Danny that we know and love. The only time I liked Danny in this entire season was like the last 10 seconds that she was in the house giving that speech.
The door was closing.
Yeah.
When they like start getting a little bit upset, when Christmas kind of like speaks up a little, when she's like, "You have a final two, and you had a power in Christmas," and she's like, "You do." And I was like, "Okay, there's Danny for the first time."
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Phil, would you say that the biggest winner tonight now with Danny going out of the house in the way that she did, was it Cody?
1,000%. This was exactly what he needed.
Mm-hmm.
Going out in exactly this way, not getting blown up because of it. This was his perfect outcome.
Yeah, and she was talking about the fact that he didn't vote for her, but that's a pretty easy fix in the final two if he's there saying, "Look, like I knew the votes weren't there. The votes weren't there for you. I knew everybody else was going to vote against you, Danny. I had to go along with the house. You know, I love you. You know, you're amazing."
DBBF.
I think, yeah, she still votes for him in the end if he's there.
And I also just think that Cody is a big victor tonight because Tyler painted himself as such a big threat. but like Tyler won the HOH and he won the veto. So like now Cody has another reason to say, "Yo, Tyler's coming up. He's about to be a big threat. We have to take him out." Like this was again. Come on. We expected this. We knew this. This was going to be a great night for Cody. We went in tonight knowing that. And so if you came out expecting that, come on. What else did we really expect?
Well, when will it not be a great night for Cody? I feel like it was, you know, was 6 weeks ago, Taryn, I was watching the live feed updates and you were telling me that Cody was, things were not going good for him. And then that Tyler and Enzo were hanging out and Cody was sad.
Yeah. And then Tyler tried
Rob.
The best night for
the house, which is the worst of both worlds. Go ahead, Phil. Sorry.
No, I'm saying the worst night for Cody is just going to be the night he finally spends all his 500K when he has no more. That's going to be the night Cody has a bad night.
See, I was going to say the worst night for him will be outside of the house when he has to explain to Danny that they had nothing.
They had nothing.
All right.
They're never going to speak again. That's going to be an awkward moment.
All right. So Tyler is going to put Danny and Nicole up on the block. And then we're going to have the veto competition. Taryn, I thought that this was a pretty good draw for Danny. But Tyler, this was like shades of that first HOH from BB20 when he was just able to, you know, he can fly around those balance beams very quickly.
Yeah, that's what I thought the first round of the veto was going to be like this. And I thought that Tyler was going to have a great chance of winning and saving David. But nope, it was the second one. And then I was like, okay, now Tyler's going to win and lock it. And this is the thing, too. He didn't even need to win.
Nobody would have taken anybody off. Yeah.
I mean, Danny would have taken herself off.
Yeah.
But he didn't. It doesn't. There's other.
She was close.
Pick up people that aren't Danny, Tyler. Mm-hmm. Like, it's okay. Hey, Danny's not your only threat.
And I feel like even for him, if he kept Danny in the game, like unless Danny won HOH, she would be the prime target that week. So I feel like it wouldn't be the worst if Nicole went, I feel like, this week, and then how you have Danny next week to take out.
Yeah,
you
know, he could have put up Memphis and maybe sent Memphis home. Like Memphis going home would be great for Tyler. Better than Danny, because Danny is still going after Christmas first. Memphis is actually going to go after Tyler first because he's with Christmas. Mm-hmm. And taking out Memphis means that Christmas has nowhere else to turn but to you again. But he took out Danny.
All right.
Okay, fine.
So ultimately, we're going to get some veto speeches. And Kirsten, Danny gives basically like the Davon speech on the block of like, I'm not even going to give you a speech. You're not going to use it.
Yeah, you don't deserve a speech from me.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you'll do either way.
And Tyler, that he felt like that he wanted to explain himself even after the speeches. I thought that was weird that he chose to tell them why he put them up on the block after they gave their speech. And Tyler was like, you know, Danny, I just feel like you were going around the house planting all these seeds, baby. And so that's why he had to put her up on the block.
I just want to blow my brains out when people do that. Had they learned nothing from Dan Gieseling? Like, less explaining, more doing when you're on live television.
I actually liked this. This was his only chance to get a message to them before they go. And I think he's been doing a pretty good job of leaving, like, short but sweet explanations for his game moves that, like, they can't really argue against. Like, Danny's even like, yeah, I didn't plant seeds. And I think, like, the Nicole thing, too. Like, and Nicole, like, you never relayed that information to me. And so that's kind of, I think he has an out now with Nicole that, like, hey, I don't want to be working against you, but I just never felt like we could with Danny here. Whereas somebody like Christmas is going to be like, well, yeah, I told Christmas she was my number one multiple times. She still voted against me. And so I do think these little things are good.
I feel like it's not just like a great move to tell Nicole and Danny this, but I also feel like it's a great move for the whole house, too. So they all know, you know, Tyler's saying, I'm a practical player. There are reasons why I'm putting you up. There are reasons why I'm doing this. And so it's not just like, you know, I'm putting you up just because. It's like because you guys were coming against me. So if she's telling everyone else, you know, if you try to come after me, then I'll put you up. But if not, then we're good. You know what I mean? It makes him seem like a practical, logical player.
Yes. And like all the cards are kind of already on the table at this point. And so I feel like it doesn't hurt, but it could help.
All right.
But it's still annoying.
Thank you.
We're going to get to the vote. It's a clean sweep. Everybody votes for Danny. No hug for Christmas. She's gone right out.
Guess it's going to be personal this year. Guess it is.
It's going to be personal this year.
It's always personal with you, Christmas. Come on.
Oh. Hey, except when it's game talk. There's no such thing as personal game talk.
Yeah, right.
I'm just annoyed that like this season's shocker was making fun of how somebody like, oh, this is, but we didn't get any of it because Danny was only on the outs for like 5 minutes.
Kirsten, do I want Christmas on the block or do I want Christmas putting people, other people? I'm so torn this week. I don't know what I want.
It's like we want her to play a prominent role. It's like everything in looks the so good. Week,
it's like the Cheesecake Factory of weeks. Yeah. I don't know. There's so many things on the menu.
H-O-H. That's
I mean, it's hardly
want.
The Cheesecake Factory. There's only a few things on the menu. It's not like you have like 10 pages and you're like, okay, but what do I want?
But it all looks so good.
A little bit of everything.
It's the Cheesecake Factory after like spending like 8 weeks at like a high school cafeteria. So it's like, now we're at the Cheesecake Factory. Oh, you know, maybe this isn't so bad. Maybe this is going to be pretty good.
I was going to say more like it's 3 a.m., you're drunk, you're at Denny's, and you're like, yeah, and I'll take it, whatever, it's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, how about this? Christmas wins HOH, she puts up Nicole and Cody, then Nicole wins the veto. Who does she put up now? Memphis and Enzo, who are in the wise guys, or Tyler, her, you know, quote-unquote final two? It's probably Enzo, right? Enzo versus Cody is actually the one spot where he might actually go home.
So it's not going to happen, Taryn. That's what you're saying.
Well, no, but I'm saying if you're looking for things to root for.
Yes.
Yeah, but like I'm sick of false hope.
But what's the negative here? What's the worst case scenario? No matter what, I'm going to watch
Nicole and Cody and Nicole goes home.
Yeah, I'm
going to
watch Taryn and Puya tomorrow morning. And no matter what they say, they're like, oh, this is great.
I'm saying the worst case scenario is, I think, like I was saying before, it's just Memphis and Christmas winning back to back. So prepare for that. Like, I feel like I'm preparing for Memphis or Christmas to win HOH. So let's just get ready for that. And if it doesn't happen, then we're going to have a great season, a great end game.
Yeah, I will say, if Cody goes home, we might start having to look at Memphis as our front runner.
Oh, definitely possible. I don't care for that.
I mean, I wouldn't hate it, but I don't like Cody as the front runner either, Kirsten. So,
well, yeah, I think it's the thing where it's like, is there anyone to be like thrilled about?
No, but there are people that will lose each step of the way.
That's what we have to concentrate on, Rob.
That's fun, is watching them go home. But when you think about at the end how two of these people are going to be sitting in those seats, one of them is going to get $500,000, that part's hard to think about because there's no one there that I want to have money. Getting to see them go home, that's the joy.
Christmas is going to have a tragic downfall.
Enzo and Nicole.
Yeah.
That's, well, I guess, what I'm rooting for at the end. I can't even believe I'm saying that.
Yeah.
You want them to be at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought you were really like, you want those two to go first.
No. Enzo and Nicole at the end. I feel like she's played a pretty phenomenal game and he deserves the money. I'd like him to have it.
Mm-hmm.
Who was Melissa's winner pick? Because that's what's going to happen.
Well, we have to go back to the draft.
Wasn't it Nicole or no? I think she maybe, yeah.
We'll have to look that back up. Okay. All right. At the end of the night, Julie is all of us.
Just checking. Okay, I'm sure you're all exhausted.
Yes.
I'm not even playing. I'm a little tired, I have to tell you.
All right, Julie.
She had to work for 2 hours in a week, okay?
Hey, that's like nine Dr. Will years, okay, Kirsten?
It's double the amount she normally would work on a Thursday. She worked a double today. That's a long day.
Yeah, she just pulled a double. Or a triple. Mm. Or is it?
Oh, yeah. Get it?
Kidding.
Three, get it?
Okay.
Melissa still has Enzo and Memphis on her team.
Yeah.
On the draft.
Okay. And I have Cody and Nicole. Taryn has Tyler. Correct. And so then, Brent, you're out.
Brent's out.
What?
Amon has Christmas.
Demand a recount.
Yeah. Brent's already out. I only lost my first person tonight, Kevin. So we'll see. Okay, it'll be coming down to the wire for the draft. We're going to get into all your questions from the triple eviction in just a moment. But first, let me thank one of our sponsors, our friends over at Bubs Naturals. Bubs Naturals believes that feeling and performing at your best should be possible at any age. And it starts by adding two simple ingredients to your daily routine. Collagen peptides and MCT oil, okay? You want to be performing at your best. You want to be like Christmas, a fierce competitor who can conquer anything. You want to be great. Well, you don't just become great. There are staggering levels of grit and effort. Bubs Naturals is proud to be used by some of the best athletes in the world, like the 2018 and 2019 World Series champs or NFL great Nick Hardwick. We all want to be that best version of ourselves. But look, some people like myself that gets talked about a lot are not as young as we used to be. And your body needs things to help perform at a high level. Things like collagen. Your body slows down production of it in your mid-20s. That's when things like lines and wrinkles, aches and pains, joint pain start to creep in. That's why I start every day with collagen peptides, and there's so many collagen products to choose from, but none match Bubs in terms of quality or care. Bubs collagen dissolves easy in hot or cool drinks and is highly bioavailable, so you can use it fast. I mix it in with some almond milk in the morning, and that's how I start my day. 100% sustainably sourced, grass-fed, pasture-raised collagen peptides. No flavors, fillers, or impurities. Even the first lady of podcasting will drink it, and she doesn't like anything. Whole30 approved, NSF certified for sport, keto, and paleo-friendly, and GMO free, and 10% of every Bubs Natural sale goes to charity. So you'll feel good about what you're doing. And Bubs MCT oil powder gives the fast-acting energy and enhanced mental focus of MCT without the oil slick. I've tried MCT oil in things, and it's a big mess, and it's gross. The MCT oil powder from Bubs, I put it in coffee. It is the best powdered creamer I've ever had. I'm not going to name brand names of different coffee powdered coffee creamers I tried. Most of them are gross. Bubs MCT oil powder, it is fantastic. It's just as good as cream. I really enjoy it. With Bubs MCT oil powder, you can add a clean energy boost to any beverage you choose. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code RHAP at BubsNaturals.com. That's 20% off with promo code RHAP at BubsNaturals.com. Let's get back to taking your questions about the Big Brother triple eviction. Let's take some questions from the listeners. Hear what they have to say. The great Susie Perez says, what was the worst move of the night?
For us or for them?
Yeah. Yes.
I would say it's Tyler. Tyler taking out Danny. I feel like this was the
worst
time for
than
him.
Trying to make the move against Nicole and it not working.
I mean, that was bad, but a little more excusable, I think, that like they took a shot that he had no reason to believe it wouldn't work. Based on the knowledge he had, I would have been like, why didn't you try? Whereas the move to not go against Enzo and Cody after learning that they weren't on board, that's where I feel like he's screwed up. And I feel like it's probably a matter of he didn't have enough time to think it through, but man, I think he's in a lot of trouble now. And I don't think that Danny was the right move.
Well, he was trying to quit the game, so I guess that makes sense. Yeah. But also Enzo not voting Nicole out.
Kirsten, Danny really was really roasting him about wanting to quit the game and go see his girlfriend.
She feels like that's why she still thinks that's why he turned on her, because that was his excuse for like, oh, I turned on you because I wanted to quit. And so she's like, so I'm out of this game because he wanted to quit. But in reality, he went against her, already.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's take another question from the great Marietta. Taryn said that Enzo's best case scenario was if Nicole and Danny leave in the triple. So how was his move the right one? He could have lied about the vote, or even if he didn't, Cody would have turned on Enzo. Taryn, you said it was the right move.
Well, I said ideally this in a separate context. Ideally, Nicole and Danny would go home for Enzo because that cuts off Cody's extra options, right? But not in the way where Nicole is on the block next to David. In the way where Nicole is on the block next to Danny, and then maybe Nicole goes home or Danny goes home, and then like it's basically if Nicole goes home not by Enzo's hands, that's ideal because now Cody is locked in with him. Memphis is still here going after Tyler. Tyler still trusts Enzo. And Christmas is still thinking she's in with Enzo. But by giving away his hand, by keeping Nicole, he's kind of screwed that up. So now he can't have Nicole and Danny leave. By showing his hand by voting Nicole out, he's screwing Memphis and Cody, which is not good for him either. So that specific situation put him in a spot where he needed to choose a side, and choosing the Cody side was the better one.
Phil, what type of HOH competition do you suspect we're going to get tonight?
Oh, I don't know. Now, I mean, it's probably going to be... Is there any ones that, like, the landmark ones, like the wall comp or the Vita or the OTEV that, like, we haven't gotten yet?
So, I feel like that it's going to probably be some type of a quiz, even though we did have two quizzes in a row. Well, Taryn, what do you think? Because I feel like that in the past, we've had, like, after the double evictions, like the ones that are similar, like the one that Christmas and Devon, it came down to in terms of, like a knockout competition with the buzzers. But maybe we already did that.
Did we get
live?
We already did a knockout, yeah.
But I feel comic like... book yet?
It's not going to be a big build after this, right?
I saw some people on Twitter saying that the setup for that last veto looks like something that could be transferred like into the slip and slide competition fairly easily.
I would expect an endurance. I mean, we haven't seen an endurance. There's only six people left. So if they're going to do slip and slide, I think it has to be now. Or it could be the spinning hanging on the disc one. But they might save that for like final five. But, you know, it's they don't usually.
But logistically, though, Taryn, that they're going to reset the backyard for another big competition all in one night.
Yeah, I was going to say, Taryn, I don't know if we're going to get an HOH tonight.
That's why, yeah.
Oh, and remember, show's not until Monday.
Yeah.
Yes. So sometimes what we get after something like this is that the feeds might even come back with no HOH winner until tomorrow morning or, you know, tomorrow during the day.
Yeah.
And they spend the time, you know, building the next competition. So they can theoretically have as much time as they want. And then they need a competition to play out on Monday now. And that certainly could be something like, you know, random competition. But I think what they like to do is have these endurance competitions where they can do flashbacks during the competition to explain what happened during the triple while they're competing.
That's a good call, Taryn.
I think it is an endurance
competition. Yeah, that way they can flash back to what was happening. Yeah.
Okay. I think it's going to be slip and slide.
All right.
If it's slip and slide, congrats, Cody.
All right. Scott, do we have another question? Okay, let's go to Daytona. Isn't Enzo repeating his past mistakes? Cody equals Hayden. Nicole equals Lane. How does Nicole equal Lane? Because Cody and Nicole are tighter.
Yeah, and she's a former winner. He's going to take her to the end over the family man Enzo anytime. Like, I mean, does he not see that Cody would do that? That Cody is closer to Nicole, that they were on the same season together? Again, I do feel like a lot of these people are repeating their previous mistakes.
I don't know. Yeah. I think it's a little bit of a stretch.
I mean, she's not Lane to be sure, but yeah, I think he's playing for third place again.
She doesn't have a Brittany.
You could call Matt or Danny the Matt, you know, you could substitute that, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
Well, does Enzo maybe think that Nicole is the Brittany of the situation, even though that's not the case?
I think he does think she is. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Okay.
Shelby says, could Tyler have walked away clean if he targeted Nicole and respectfully asked Danny to return the favor by sitting as a pawn while he took a shot at Nicole?
There's no way. No, he could not have done that. The votes were like, he could have asked Danny to sit on the block as a pawn all he wanted. But if she's sitting on the block at the end of his HOH reign, they're going to vote Danny out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's just how it is.
I don't think everyone else would not have allowed. It would have been a bad move for because if he did try to set up Danny as like a side alliance, I mean, the rest of the house would just know it. They'd suss him out and he would get in trouble for it. So I feel like at this, like he had to just do it at this point.
Okay. This is from Marsha. Why does it seem as if Cody threw the veto? Also, Tyler winning so much tonight. Is he a bigger target? No, I mean, did Cody throw any veto tonight?
I did notice that Cody was like 5 to 10 seconds behind Tyler in the second veto of the night the whole way through. And then the last two pieces, he started walking across he significantly slowed down out of nowhere.
Interesting.
And I mean, I don't know if he wanted that veto. If he has the veto,
Danny would never forgive him for not using it on her.
Exactly. So both of them are going to
DBBBF.
Both of them expect him to use it on them. And Tyler would be pissed if it's a no win scenario for him to win that thing.
Mm, yeah. Okay. Okay. Scott, do we have another question? All right. Ben Obi, do you think that a house guest being shown it was a triple eviction had an impact on Enzo voting out David instead of Nicole? Does anybody think that that was a factor?
No, I don't think it was a factor in either direction.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Anna. Tyler played great tonight, but other than a Christmas HOH next, isn't he pretty much going on the block next? What is his path forward? Brent, do you have to see a path forward for Tyler?
So Memphis wins HOH and Tyler goes to him and says, obviously I'm with Christmas. You're close to Christmas. And look at those three people over there. They are so tight together. Like, you have to target one of those three people. That's about it. If he doesn't win, if Christmas doesn't win HOH.
So the best case other than Christmas winning is Memphis listening to another person.
Yes.
I think Memphis is worst case for Tyler. I think he's the person who targets Tyler the most of all of them. And I think that like Tyler can make that argument. He can make that case. But I think Tyler being close to Christmas only makes Memphis want him out more, to be honest. I think Memphis feels pretty comfortable in the wise guys. And he's if Tyler.
But he shouldn't be, though.
He shouldn't be.
I mean,
be,
I guess
Tyler,
he shouldn't be. Yeah. I mean, like, Enzo rented it out, but he doesn't know that.
Tyler doesn't have that info. So if Tyler goes to Memphis and says, you don't realize that it's those three, then Memphis is going to be like, no, you don't realize that I have the wise guys. Whereas somebody like Enzo or Cody winning, even potentially Nicole, like I said, Cody should want Christmas out over Tyler. That's probably his best hope, just surviving the week if Christmas doesn't win, and then hoping Christmas then also doesn't win the veto, and then he has a chance at the final five to win something. Or maybe at that point they feel like at that point he's just definitely the target.
I feel like also just Memphis is just like he wants to go to the end with people he can beat more than anything. Memphis, if you're not benefiting Memphis, he's going to cut you. And I feel like Memphis just there's no benefit to even if he goes to the end, the final three with Tyler and Christmas, like there's a chance that, you know, I mean, I don't think like that Memphis and Tyler would be in the final two. But like if that happened, like I feel like Memphis just would not want to be in that scenario at all. He wouldn't even want to entertain it.
Memphis is on top of the world. Memphis feels like I have four of the final six. I am locked in. And Tyler is the only threat to my position because he can win comps.
Okay. Look, it's going to be a bloody stretch to the end.
I hope so. I hope it just is bitter from here on out. It's just a bloodbath war. No one holds back.
Holds barred. I think that this is, I mean, Taryn, am I wrong here?
No, you're not wrong. It's basically right now it's Tyler and Christmas versus the rest of the house. And Christmas doesn't realize it. And Tyler doesn't fully realize it.
Yeah.
And Memphis doesn't realize that he's the next to go. It should be. I hear you, Brent. It should be Tyler, Memphis and Christmas against the other three. But all three of those people think they have ins.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Let's take this question from Alicia. Has Tyler become the fan favorite underdog? I think it depends. I mean,
we already said it. Yeah, we said it was Christmas earlier, so I'm sticking with Christmas. She's the real underdog. Tyler will never be the fan favorite underdog. I mean,
I think that Tyler at least has a fan base as opposed to Christmas. Find me a Christmas fan.
He's been the fan favorite for a lot of people. So I don't think it's like suddenly something new that happened.
I do think this is spot on. Tyler is going to be, especially if he survives this week, he's going to head into the final five, still the underdog. Mm-hmm. He has two chances to win a competition and survive.
Davon needs to win America's favorite player. I do not want Tyler to get like stay in the house and develop an underdog story when he's clearly not been the underdog all season long. I do not need this bullshit, Taryn.
You don't want the sad puppy edit with the piano music playing and Tyler talking about how much
Valentine
he misses Angela.
Edit. No.
I feel like in this season, underdog and fan favorite at this point no longer have to be the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The fan favorites have already gone home.
I mean, I do think Tyler is predisposed to being. I mean, he won America's Favorite last time. I don't think show watchers are that soured on Tyler.
Taryn, you know what? Tyler owes us a good final third of a season. He gave us two-thirds in Big Brother 20. He owes us one-third by my math. And maybe this is the season that we get it.
You're very true. Hopefully, Tyler, like myself, pays his debts.
Yeah, Taryn, the chat has a brilliant idea. I should bet you $100 that Tyler is not going to be or he is going to be the America's favorite player or something like that, and then it won't happen anymore, and I'll have to pay $100.
I think he's gonna make top three America's favorite player.
I think so.
Yeah,
we don't care about that, Phil. We care about the coin.
Yeah.
The coin, honey. coin.
Also, Taryn, there was some question of, was that Stockwatch money or that was real cash that you were going to pay Melissa?
It was Stockwatch. You guys didn't realize?
Oh. Okay. All right. Let's take
it. I actually thought about saying it was Stockwatch when I tweeted out that I would pay $100 because I thought it would be funny. But then I legitimately was like, nah, it would ruin the integrity of the stock.
I feel like, Taryn, I feel like you would be more upset at losing $100 of equity in the Stockwatch than you would at losing 100 actual dollars.
That's actually not true, but I would be upset about the game that pieces would be out of place in the where that they shouldn't be. You know what I mean?
Insider trading. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. This is from the Bachelorettes. If of the players knew it was a triple before the double, would any of them have played differently? No.
No. No, no, no. I mean, they might have made more play. Okay, here's the thing. I'll take it back. I think if they knew for sure it was a triple and how this was going to work, I think that they would have had more information to be able to make a possible plan, and then Tyler might have been able to flip Enzo's vote if he definitely knew the way things were going to work tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a long shot.
Okay. Let's go to Tiana, who says, even with Nicole being a former winner, she survived tonight and is in the top six. What do you think are the chances of her winning the game? Phil, that once upon a time, the first time we ever spoke, you talked about how you said Josh Martinez was going to be the Sandra Diaz Twine of Big Brother. Is it possible Nicole Franzel is actually going to be the two-time Big Brother winning champion?
Anytime someone says Josh, my heart hurts that he's just not on my TV screen right now. But anyways, I mean, early on in the season, I think that's what we were all predicting, that, you know, Nicole has it. She's going to just secure the bag. But, you know, I think she's had a kind of a rough time, like a rough middle, as Cody just kept on like taking the lead on from her. But, you know, I do think that she's in the final six, you know, and I also just think that like her win doesn't matter. Like when Danny was in the interview with Julie and Julie was like, you know, she's a former winner. And Danny was just like, yeah, but like that doesn't, no one really cares that she's a winner. No one really even sees her as a winner. Like, so if she won again, like, which I think she could, I mean, there's a chance. There's a big,
she can.
There's a chance
oh, yes,
she could do
can.
It. So, yep. And I feel like people would give her the second win because she didn't get the credit for her first win.
If she gets to the end with Cody, I feel like she could win. I do feel like that the people who are in jury right now would
Let's do it. Come on, Nicole for winning.
Melissa is in the chat right now saying that she called it and that Nicole is going to win. And so
she did
based
say
on
that.
Everything else we've seen, I think that we have to be ready for Nicole.
All right, who's putting the $100 down?
Not me. I'm poor.
I'm busy that day.
Yeah. Busy Phillips. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I just got divorced. What do you want from me?
I'll save those questions for if Taryn's taking for next Taryn Show 4 with Brent. Okay. Scott, do we have any other questions for tonight? Yes. Okay.
Oh,
Michelle.
We do.
Will any of the remaining house guests actually put up Cody on the block? So tell me more about this Christmas putting up Cody on the block.
I think Christmas would put Cody on the block.
I do too.
Christmas's allies are, as far as she knows, the wise guys, which are Memphis and Enzo and Tyler. There's only six people. Those are three of the other people. There's only two others left, Nicole and Cody. So, yeah.
Okay. Then we have Laura Shepherd. Why do we need so many commercials when it definitely wasn't live tonight? Was keeping up the appearance of a triple live eviction worth commercial breaks 1 minute apart? So let me just say, because I was I had a lot going on during this episode tonight, trying to time out when I was going to eat and everything. So there were no commercials like for the first 30 minutes of this episode. So we went from like 8 to 8:29 with no commercial break. Then we took like one every five Dr. Will segments. So that's about every 60 seconds the rest of the way.
Yeah. I mean, basically, for every reset they needed to do, that after a competition, after a nomination ceremony, after a veto ceremony. And so because they knew they'd have to do them so rapid pace, they had to, you know, stock up time beforehand with no commercials. And the reason we saw it the way we did and with all the mistakes and the cut to stars is that they film it live to tape, which means that even though they're not airing it live, they are not editing any significant amount of the episode. Mm-hmm. They don't have time to do that. So they're filming it like it's a live show. They're just giving themselves a couple of a few hours or however many time, however much time they need to fix any major issues that come up from it if something serious goes wrong. So that's what we saw.
Okay. They still had people like cursing, like when Christmas won the HOH and she was just cursing and Julie couldn't even finish her sentence. I thought Julie was just like just sad that Christmas won. So like, yeah, it's basically a live show.
Okay. Let's take a question from Henry Lee. Uh-oh, Kirsten, how do you feel about Phil wearing the single cross earring like Bennett on Love Island? By the way, Phil, I love it.
I'm going to let Phil live his life.
I don't know who that is. Is that a good thing that I'm Bennett from Love Island, or is it tragic?
I thought Bennett was very cute on Love Island this summer. But there was a very long segment on one of our podcasts this week about how I think ears are gross and I don't like looking at people's ears. So I think that they wanted me to read you for having an ear. And guess live your life, Phil. I don't have a problem with it.
Work.
We love it, Phil.
Work.
Yes. Okay. All right. Anything else about this triple eviction? How about this, Brent? Should Big Brother 23 have a triple eviction?
You know, I was actually okay with it. Here's the thing, though. They should do it earlier in the season. They should do it earlier in the season when there's more riffraff in the house and people that honestly don't have a shot at winning the game, that aren't making the bonds that they need to make. And I would really be fine with it. But like I am kind of bitter about the fact that we lost out on an entire week of Dani sitting on the block, stewing about it, realizing she's the target, and like her allies are not going to back her up on this one. Like, I'm bitter about that because you saw what she gave us on the show tonight. That was vintage Dani.
Yeah,
we missed it.
In a perfect world, they could have timed it back 1 week earlier and then had the triple eviction Kevin and David.
I'd rather them do two double evictions, like one earlier in the season, one later in the season. That would be better than doing the triple eviction. Mm-hmm.
But like this version of the triple eviction is just so much better than the Canada way.
That's one of the few things they have over Canada in a heartbeat. Yeah, yes.
We didn't spend enough time at the top talking about how much better it is to do it as like a double double. Rather than giving one person all of that power like they do on BB Can.
Yes. Which is absurd because BB Can had first pick, right? Like there are two ways to do this.
They didn't have 2 hours though.
We're going to do a triple eviction. We're going to do it the bad way.
BB Can doesn't do live evictions ever. Like they have time. They could do it earlier in the day on a Thursday, make it happen. They could do that, but
I also like that we spent all week like theorizing, like, how are they going to fit four different competitions into? Are they going to use the basement? Are they going to like, they're going to fix, they're going to do the thing. And then the feeds went out this morning. Oh, they're going to film it all day long. They're going to spend half the day rebuilding. I know they're just going to reuse the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds about right.
Recycling. It's important.
Yes. Phil.
Tonight was like I think it went well. Like I would call it a success. Maybe not for like what we wanted, but I think it works, except for, you know, it being spoiled, obviously. But I also just don't think we're going to get it again just because like BB Can and this season are like 2 weeks shorter than like, you know, how they usually do it. So now they're just trying to get people the hell out of this house. But, you know, usually they're just trying to stretch it out for as long as possible. So,
okay.
I don't think.
And we also got the word tonight, Taryn, no one will be coming back into the game.
Yeah, it's not super surprising to me that with COVID and the current schedule, it's just from this point forward, it seems like it'll probably just be 1 week, one eviction for the rest of the season.
Okay. And Brent, no sign off from Julie tonight.
Yeah, didn't miss it though. She's
too tired.
Yeah.
She wasted all her time with the jokes. She didn't have enough gold inspiration.
Yeah, exactly, Kirsten. There was enough gold in this whole 2-hour extravaganza that we didn't need.
I didn't say anything about a triple eviction. Not yet.
Yeah.
So what happened is we missed her saying to the cameraman and the producers that, and I have a sign off for them, but I'm going to make them wait a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm going to hear that in my sleep, Taryn.
They need to be doing more with Julie. 1 hour a week with Julie. No. It's just 2 hours this week, but still. She's not doing the talk anymore. Yeah.
Notice at the beginning when like they're panning into her at the opening of the show, like after she already does the welcome to Big Brother, like when they come back in, they're like, it's like she's waiting for the applause, like to die down. You know how they're normally applauding, and then I'm Julie Chen, welcome to Big Brother. You're like, hey, but the applause is not there, and so it's like,
should they pump it in like an NFL game?
Maybe,
yeah,
they might.
Yes,
I'd love to see the applause.
I'd love to see them add in the digital boo sound when someone when Nicole gets evicted or something
They pump
in the digital sound of production being the entire audience so that nobody boos.
Yes.
Frankie Grande flashbacks.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Dominique.
Happy birthday, Charlie Moonves.
Okay. All right.
Let's talk about what else is going on
robhasawebsite.com. And check this out. Puya's got a new episode of the 90 Day Fiancé wrap up. Check out what Puya has going on. Talking about 90 Day Fiancé. And then want more Puya? Here you go. Masked Singer wrap up episode 2. Puya and Leon are back to talk about the second week of the return of The Masked Singer. And then we'll have exit interviews. I got to send them in because last week I almost missed my deadline to send in those questions. Okay.
Oh my God.
I'll ask you guys if you have any good questions to send in after the show, because we will have 4 questions with each of the 3 people that got eliminated tonight. So listen for that tomorrow in our podcast feed. Then we also have more stuff coming, I believe.
I wonder what
it is. Yes, we're on so much suspense of what's gonna be coming up next.
We're gonna always hold off a little bit longer. Darren,
stop it now! Stop it!
We're not gonna tell you yet. Yeah. All right.
We didn't see anything about more Puya podcasts yet.
Yes. Okay.
Well, there's gonna be more Puya tomorrow, isn't there?
Puya. Of course, there's gonna be Puya Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern. 8 a.m. Pacific. Be on the lookout for that as well on Friday morning. Of course, Big Brother is going to be not on Sunday night this week. We will have our first live show coming up on Monday night at 9:15 p.m. Eastern time. So Big Brother will be on then. Oh, wait. Okay, we finally got this working. And Scott has up. Puyo is on Love Island with you, too.
Oh my God.
Boy.
Literally, what on that happening? Podcast, I said, Puya, I'm Puya, just so lucky.
Live your life. Put the mic down.
I said, Puya, we're so lucky that you just started watching Love Island, because otherwise you would have had this podcast too.
Yes. Okay. And then, of course, tomorrow morning, more Puya. That's RHAP. P stands for Puya now.
The Nipple King.
The Nipple King. Long may he reign. All right, Friday morning. It's like, I'm so excited. I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and I'm just going to be loving it so much. Actually, there might not be an HOH, but hopefully there'll be lots of talk about who they're going to put up on the block. Okay,
you're gonna eat well, Rob.
We're gonna eat tomorrow. That's right. Can't wait. Then we have coming up a roundtable, Legacy Watch. Oh, boy. How'd the triple eviction affect the legacies? Taryn will update you on Saturday night. Be on the lookout for Taryn's the survey that is going to be coming at you to update the Legacy Watch coming up this weekend, Saturday night.
Yes, should be fun.
Okay. Then... Monday, will be back. It'll be Taryn, Liana, and the kid Norris, AJ Norris, will be joining us on Monday night to talk about everything going on in our next HOH competition. I'm sure we will learn more about the triple eviction coming up on Monday night. And then, of course, you can become part of the RHAP patron community. I'm doing the long form patron cast tomorrow. Going to be about 5 hours taking calls from the patrons. RobHasAWebsite.com/patron. First day of the month. Great time to get in. We were on earlier tonight with Kevin and Nigel to break down your calls. It was a jam-packed pregame show Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern. If you want to get in and be a part of that, robiswebsite.com/patron. First day of the month, the best day of the month to jump on board at robiswebsite.com/patron. You can follow us on social media where we're always tweeting out clips of the show, posting videos. Rob has a podcast on Twitter at RHAPGrams on Insta, and our Facebook page is Rob's a Podcast. And then we are reminding our U.S. citizens that there's a big election that's coming up in November. It's going to be everybody's supposed to vote. 45 million people didn't even vote last time. What's up with that? Come on, pull your weight, America. Get out there, figure out what to do by going to vote.gov. Find out if you're registered and make sure that you are a part of all of the responsible adults voting. Get up off of your couch if you're not going to do it. Come on, vote.gov. Is that an impassioned enough plea, Brent?
I like it. Sounds good, Rob.
My favorite part about these vote pleas is that you read them like it's an ad.
It's not.
You have the same tone that you do when you read an ad.
Yeah. I was waiting for him to say, grow up and vote.
Well, there's a lot of people that just say, doesn't matter.
It does matter.
I don't like it when I see that chart of it's like, oh, well, there's 50 million people voted this way and 50 million people. And then these other people just did nothing.
Yeah.
I don't like
Don't be an Enzo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All you Enzos out there, like, yeah, I don't want to make a big move, yo. And that's, I'm going to sit this one out.
Let's shift the house.
That's
up,
it, yo. 2024. It's not
talk
time
a
yet.
Talk big game on the internet, but then I don't feel like it though, yo.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna register yet, but yo, okay, all right.
So those other people, they got to vote, not me, yo. That's,
not me.
That's
not me.
But he's in the DR, like, yo, I'm trying to register right now, yo.
So Enzo said, register to vote, okay?
Yo, New Jersey's gonna be a big swing state. Yeah. Okay. All right. Phil, first off, Phil, I love your earring. Okay.
Thank you so
much.
Nobody
said anything bad about his earring. All right.
Thanks a lot, Kirsten.
Phil, yes. I won't have a problem.
No. It's totally fine. Like, I don't take it personally. It's not. It's not personal game. Yes. It's, you know. Game.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. And Phil, I love having your energy on the podcast whenever you're here with us. And so, where can people keep up with you?
So, yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at ListenUpPhillip. And then you can also follow me on Letterboxd, where I'm always just writing TV show and movie reviews. You can just follow me letterboxd.com/PNTJR. That's what I'm up to right now.
Okay. All right. Brent, what's going on with you?
What's going on with me?
So you had a big trip. You went to go surprise your niece.
My nephew. I took piano lessons when I was a kid, so I pay for my nephew to take piano lessons because I believe in it. It gave me a leg up in a lot of things, music,
Wait,
math.
Brent, you can play the piano?
Yes, I can.
And you've never in all this time brought the keyboard onto the show?
I mean, Rob, I have other talents. Hello, what do I do? You know, like, come on.
Karen, you knew this?
We could have been hearing beautiful sonatas. We would have been beautiful instead of what we get. Like
the night Caitlin went home, we heard nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
Score.
No Faute forever. Yeah,
you're not coming on the podcast in a veil, like with like haunting music.
Yeah, with this season, it would be a funeral dirge. That's what I would.
Wow.
No, I for real, I went to go see my nephew because he had a piano recital, and he was fabulous. Like the first time I saw my nephew play, it was honestly like plunky notes on a piano. It did not sound very good. But, and he's seven, just to be like, he was seven at the time, now he's eight. But now, he sounds amazing. He sounds like a musician. He's got a sense of timing, yeah. A sense of rhythm, a sense of sound. You know,
Kirsten,
so.
It's very late on the East Coast. The children are not watching this show.
Let me tell you.
As opposed to last year when that seven-year-old was just trash, now he's good. Like, oh my God,
let me tell you about this child. Not naturally gifted.
Bad. Mm-hmm. He is now. Had to work every day to be good.
You know, someone's going to save that clip and then show that to your nephew.
She watches. My sister watches. She will. Mm-hmm. I'll hear about it. Yeah.
Look, you get the most improved ribbon, you know.
It's like, in God, this year, you were kind of okay, but last year, it was
the worst thing I just want you to know, Kirsten, I want you to know, I said the same thing to him in the car last night. When we were on the way home, I said, last year, you were okay. But this year, you were amazing.
I'm not saying it behind the child's back.
Yeah.
I keep it real, just like on the podcast.
You read your nephew?
But Brent, said is that you said in the car you told your nephew, oh, you were okay last year, but this year you're amazing. What you just said to us 2 minutes ago is last year he was horrible. It was the worst thing I ever heard. It was like he'd never even seen a piano.
Just tell us
before.
One thing, Brent. You didn't bring the one paddle, did you?
I did. I brought the one. I didn't bring it for him, but I brought it with me.
Uncle Brent, you saw it. Real.
Okay. All right. Follow Brent at One Lucky Day. Kirsten, look, you did such a great job. You and Brian Scally. Did you hear last night when I called it the Scally finale of Love Island?
I didn't because I was up too late podcasting about Love Island.
But I'm so happy you're back. I'm so happy you're back. I feel like you were playing Love Island. And I feel like that now you're back in the real world.
Yeah. So now it's a recoupling. I'm back. It's fine. Well, also, like, Love Island is a marathon, and also I was moving, and all like there's just all these other things that were keeping me away. But I'm back, baby, and you can get rid of me if you want to.
Yeah, it's just such a shame that you sucked so much when you started. It's good that you're better now.
Yeah, it's like if you look at the Love Island podcast last year, unlistenable, but this year,
really
incredible.
Yes. Taking a big
step. Just kidding. I love all of the Love Island podcasts I've done, and Scally's a great co-host, so.
Okay.
He is.
All right. check out at Kirsten Said What for more from Kirsten. And of course.
Oh, wait. Can I say one more thing first? And then I know all of the buzz online right now is about this game Among Us, which is a lot of fun. And there is going to be an Among Us stream this Sunday on, of course, Puya's Twitch channel.
Yes.
Twitch.tv/PuyaIsm. I believe it's going to be 5 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. And there's going to be some familiar faces and it's going to be a lot of fun. So I wanted to direct everybody's eyes there, as well as also like my Twitch channel. Puya can't get all the attention. You can give me attention there too.
Okay. All right. And then, of course, Taryn, what's next for you after the triple eviction?
The morning update tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern.
Okay.
With Puya. Yes, you can find me there. And of course, then Saturday, I'll be back with the Saturday Roundtable. You can find me on Twitter as well, at Armstrong Taryn, and on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. We watched the episode tonight and had a grand old time. So you can find me there.
Okay. Taryn, when do you eat on Triple Eviction night? You have dinner before everything?
I did have dinner before, yeah.
Okay.
It was in between the Stockwatch stream and the episode stream.
Okay. All right. I'm just curious of your craft.
Yeah, you gotta fit the meals in. It's actually it's actually better because I'm on a cut right now. And so it's a lot easier to not eat when I have a limited amount of time to eat.
Okay. Makes sense. Yeah. All right. Thank you, everybody, for checking us out. I did predict last night this would be the largest audience we ever had for a live podcast. I believe we had over 6,000 people watching this stream live tonight. So we're a part of history for the triple eviction. So it wasn't necessarily the results we wanted. Might have been the results we deserved, but it should be an exciting home stretch here in Big Brother 22. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.